This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is Thursday, March the 19th. It's been a little while, so we decided, why not? How about some T. Watts and TR on the Built by Bama Online podcast? Travis Schreier, senior analyst for BamaOnline.com, joined by site publisher Tim Watts. Tim, how we holding up, my man?
Good, man. As good as can be expected. I mean, it's hard living in a world with no sports. I think there's a lot. You know, I tell you, one of the benefits of this for me is we've had more family time than we've had in a long time. And we've always sort of focused on it. But the kids gravitate to us now. They want to watch movies. They want to watch shows, partly because I'm not distracted by the 7:30 Lakers Spurs game, I imagine. But it's good. It's good as can be expected.
Yeah, we'll get into some essentials for quarantining for both Tim and myself as we move throughout the podcast. But I guess, Tim, if there's been a positive from a sports perspective, it's that Roger Goodell and the NFL, they don't slow down, do they? Still have the free agency news and quarterback-specific news, it seems like, here in the last 4 or 5 days.
I've never seen anything like this from the NFL standpoint. I mean, the big-name quarterbacks and all the moves, everybody making moves. I didn't expect Tom Brady to leave. I don't know how many people really did. It was hard to envision. I don't blame him for leaving. Not at all. I didn't think that was a very good offense they put around him last year. And I know there's some other stuff, underlying factors. But, I mean, to see all these guys, I mean, all these guys who've signed, I mean, you're looking at Brady's on the move. Phillip Rivers is a Colt. Small moves like, you know, Nick Foles to the Bears or Chase Daniels has signed with the Detroit make you wonder what's going to happen with, you know, Matthew Stafford. What's their plan there? Cam Newton's out there. Jameis Winston's out there. Drew Brees re-signed with the Saints. I mean, that is a ton. I mean, they kept us occupied these last couple of days.
You're a Saints guy. What about your NFC South now, Tim, with Tom down there in Tampa, and what you're going to have lined up with quarterbacks and Bridgewater in Carolina?
I don't I don't love the fit for Brady with the Buccaneers. I think Bruce Arians is a great coach. Brady's a great quarterback, but they have a lot of guys that are deep. I just don't know if Brady's still got the arm. I'd say the same thing about Drew Brees to throw the passes they're going to try to throw. I mean, Big Ben had a pretty good arm when they were doing that in Pittsburgh. So the division certainly got a lot more interesting. I mean, you get to see Drew Brees versus Tom Brady twice a year. That's going to be a great storyline. I'm excited to see that. How Ted Ginn got that money, I'm still amazed. That's a lot of money, a lot of money. When you could have drafted Henry Ruggs and got a better version of that for a lot cheaper on a rookie contract, I'd have much rather did that. But it's going to be interesting. It's already a pretty tough division. It's going to get even tougher now. It got tougher when Bruce Arians showed up.
I mean, really did.
And that guy knows what he's doing.
And that was the intriguing part of all this when you were considering landing spots for Tom Brady was that potential partnership of Arians and Brady. And I agree with you, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, I think of those guys more in the vertical passing game. And can Tom Brady at 43, when the season gets underway, can he make those type of intermediate to deeper throws to really fully maximize those guys? Although I would say for OJ Howard, jackpot as a tight end with Tom coming in down there, especially when OJ's looking at his second contract coming up.
Oh, absolutely. Especially with the success that Gronkowski had with Brady. So I know he'll have a big young target who's active. So that's good for OJ. We've seen some Alabama boys sort of improve their stock during this time. I mean, you've seen Amari get $20 million a year, and good for him. Always amazed. I mean, I don't think people realize how young Amari is. He's 6 months older than Calvin Ridley, for instance, and they didn't even play on the same team. So, I mean, Mari's still a baby at 25. He's did a lot of things. He got that money with the Cowboys trying to make that run. I still have my doubts whether the Cowboys can win a Super Bowl with Jerry Jones and them running it. But, I mean, good for Amari. You know, good for OJ. We've seen some Alabama guys fall into some good situations.
You talk about the Alabama guys. Kind of tough news, I guess, for Derrick Henry. He's still going to get a nice paycheck for 2020, assuming we have a 2020 season. But with that franchise tag, it's not going to be Gurley-type money, at least not yet, for Derrick Henry.
No, I mean, I don't know. The NFL is so reactionary when it comes to quarterbacks. I mean, you know, you get Tannehill for a bag of balls to start the season, and then you're giving him, you know, the keys to the kingdom after a couple six-game run. It was a nice run. He had a good run, Tannehill did, but I don't know. That kind of money invested in just seems pretty rash. And yeah, I mean, it's the easy way. Yeah, Henry's going to get paid. He certainly deserves to get paid at some point. But for a running back, the sooner he gets that contract, the better. I mean, they start counting those years pretty quick.
They absolutely do. And you're right. It's been a nice stretch for most of these Alabama guys. And it's amazing, isn't it? It seems like on a daily basis, there is an Alabama guy in the news cycle. Whereas 10, 12, 15 years ago, they were very much few and far between. We don't see many Alabama kickers in the news cycle when it comes to NFL, but pretty much any other position. And certainly with Tua coming up, he's going to become more of that with the quarterback position. Although A.J. McCarron, of all these guys we talk about, right now may have the best NFL job of any of the old Alabama players.
Oh, I agree. He's the, the NFL guy version of that is Chase Daniels, who's made a fortune playing about four or five games. AJ's did a really good job too. I mean, it's probably not what he wanted from a playing standpoint, but from a job security, a comfort of life and everything like that, he's certainly had a really good career and stayed around. You know, he's never really got an opportunity. He's always been in the weirdest situation. Even now, just backing up some of the best quarterbacks. So, good for him, you know, getting paid, staying in the NFL, you know, making that money.
It looked like he was going to get that shot in Buffalo, kind of in between, the previous regime and Josh Allen. I guess Fitzmagic may have been at Buffalo at about that time or was sort of transitioning out. And then AJ had that little bit of a window as Josh Allen was coming in there. AJ gets hurt in that preseason, and it's pretty much been – a career of a backup for AJ McCarron. But again, there are a lot worse ways to make a living in this world than what AJ McCarron. What about some of the deals we've seen just in general so far? Is it the DeAndre Hopkins trade that maybe shocked you the most of what we've seen?
If that was in my fantasy football league, I'd have vetoed the trade. I wouldn't even allow. That's some of the dumbest stuff I've ever seen. I mean, you take DeAndre Hopkins, one of the fastest guys in the league, one of the most – I don't know how Deshaun Watson's not ready to bolt out of there. When you're giving up guys like that for, again, a bag of balls, I mean, nothing against David Johnson, the running back, who was really good 3 years ago, but he's been injured. He's averaged less than 3 yards a carry, I believe, the last couple of years. You know, got draft picks back in the whole deal. I mean, Hopkins is a player. I mean, he's 27 years old. When you're thinking of the top five best players in the game, wide receivers, I certainly think of, Hopkins. So, you pair him. No, who could be happier? I sort of said this last year. Cardinals are sort of my dark horse for this year because that organization, when he got Cliff, drafted Kyler back-to-back high quarterback picks, which I was a fan of, and that organization supported this aggressive way they're doing stuff, and man, they are moving. You got Kyler Murray, you got a wide open offense. You're going to have DeAndre Hopkins. They're probably going to get an offensive tackle, possibly Jedrick Willis. I think they draft 8th. So You're getting guys to not only protect Kyler, you're getting guys to help Kyler, and don't have, he's not the same wide receiver he was, 7 years ago. But Larry Fitzgerald, man, he's still a ball player, and he's got to be great to be around in that locker room for such a young team. So a lot of good things happen. But, yeah, the Hopkins deal is just a head-scratcher. It's totally above no idea why they did that. You know, and then Michael Irvin comes out and likes, he likes to abuse and if that's true, I'd be surprised if O'Brien survived it. But then again, sort of Hopkins sort of walked it down, and maybe he said some things out of frustration. But yeah, I mean, to me, it's just an insane trade, terrible trade.
Well, you know, if it does play out that way, what the hell's going on at the ownership level in Houston? You're affording Bill O'Brien all of this power, Tim, based on what has Bill O'Brien done wherever he's been to be Bill Belichick at this point, for crying out loud. It's not six world titles that this guy has.
I mean, I think he won 8 games at Penn State. That counts for something, right? That gives you free reign of an NFL franchise worth billions of dollars, I'm assuming.
Mark Stoops is at Kentucky wanting to know where his power's at in the NFL then, you know, if that's sort of the qualifier.
No kidding. Butch Jones like, what is up? 1-9, baby. What is up? Yeah, give me the Titans. So I don't understand. I agree. I mean, I don't think there's many checks and balances. There's rumors J.J. Watt's going to wants to leave, so that's going to be mess.
All the damn Watts are in Pittsburgh now, so that's probably what he wants to do. His brothers are all Steelers at this point.
I'm one letter away from being in the National Football League. I hope you know that.
Well, T. Watts. We can make that.
If it was just Tim Watt, I'd probably be in the National Football League. Somebody added an S and sent me to Sweden, and I came back. No NFL aspirations.
None at all.
Thank God for the NFL this week, though.
No, and thank goodness, by the way, for our subscribers, right, at BamaOnline.com.
Dude, they've been great. I mean, I'm looking at the message board every day, and they're active, and they're discussing, and it's almost like I said about the family. Now we're spending so much more family time on BOL. We don't have as much sports, but we're talking about a lot of good stuff. So a lot of good discussion. They're staying active. I didn't know what to expect.
Right? And you know, it's been good here in the last day or so. 247sports.com releasing its top 247 for the 2022 class. And Tim, a guy I know you're very familiar with, Alabama's commitment for the 2022 class right now, checks in the top 15 overall among prospects for that upcoming cycle, a few down the road. But tell us what you know about Jeremiah Alexander.
Man, this kid, you know, obviously I've known his family for a while. I've known his dad. And Jeremiah, as a kid, used to work out where my son Kay did. They used to work out together. They were with Simeon Castile over in the Pelham area. They had this place, and Kay was probably 7 or 8 when he started. Probably now he's probably a little bit older, but Jeremiah's a year younger than him. But you know, you saw Jeremiah just had that dog in him from an early age. I've been watching him. He's just a football player. You know, when you watch him, he's a good basketball player. He's a good baseball player. He's a good athlete. Obviously, focusing on football. Thompson takes football very serious. You know, there's a lot of full time effort into that. But big kid, you know, to me, you know, people get caught up. I'm not sure what Jeremiah is going to test. I don't know if he's going to run a 4.8 or 4.6 or what he would run. I know he's 230-plus pounds of monster. You know, he loves to play. Big hitter, got great instincts, puts that work in. You know, that's on the field. Off the field, I'm lucky enough to know him, you know, having watched in the last 10 years. Really good kid, yes or no, sir. Not guy looking for personal glory. I mean, he was the best player on a Thompson team that was the best team in the state of Alabama and played the toughest schedule as a sophomore. So that sort of speaks volumes. And even as a freshman with the team where Talia was a quarterback, Jeremiah was one of the standouts. So I think the biggest thing when you look at him, his dad's a big guy and Jeremiah's a big, big kid. Could end up an inside linebacker, could end up, you know, a defensive end sort of, you know, probably not as big as Jonathan Allen, but, you know, sort of in that ballpark, could end up in that, you know, 260 range. I think he told me he's 235 yesterday. So a lot to like about him, you know, and a guy that committed early. You know, I know Alabama fans have been a little upset and worried about the numbers. I don't particularly blame them because this isn't the norm. We're not seeing the normal amount of commitments that we have. So I've got mixed reviews on that because, you know, me and you've discussed this before, is that early on, March, April, Saban likes to get those commitments and he'll take some guys that later on they don't end up in the class. So we've seen that a few times. So I know the approach is a little bit slower, but also there's a little bit less momentum right now. I don't know if it's just partly what's happening in the world, but heading into that, it was a little bit quieter. That run was about to start, I thought, or at least pick up with the junior days that were coming up and the camps that were coming up in June. So it is a slower start than we're used to. I don't think there's any cause for panic. I think you panic in, you know, in October and November.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, not just for Alabama, but with this COVID-19 pandemic and how it's impacting our world in general, let alone from a sports perspective, but specific to college football and sort of the college football calendar year, the evaluation process. I mean, you have the May period, I guess, still coming up, and then camp season possibly up in the air, which has always been a very big part of what Alabama and others are doing. So are you seeing sort of this lull, I guess you could call it, at this point with Alabama? Is it, are you noticing the same type of situation for other schools out there? I mean, it has to be to an extent. There's no officials, there's no unofficials. This would be a time with spring practice that you would see a lot of kids on campus. Is it just an Alabama thing right now, or are you seeing it across the board, Tim?
No, you've seen other teams. There's not a lot of teams with a bunch of commitments. I mean, what sort of aggravates the situation? It's always been the same, is when you look at the front runner, when you look at, say, Clemson. Clemson's having a good class. It's not a surprise. They're a hot team. They're a good team. It's a good program. They recruit extremely well. The same for Ohio State. So when you look and compare yourself to those two, a lot of schools are going to say they're behind. Now, for a lot of schools, it's different than Alabama, because Alabama's used to being the trendsetter. So I think for Alabama fans, it's a little bit of a different perspective. To me, I think, with everything that's happening, I don't know how to predict it. I don't trust anybody predicting it. I don't know how to predict it. I just think there's so much uncertainty. I do think that this class will be the most film evaluated class in the history of football. Because coaches are sitting in offices or sitting at their house, and coaches are going to coach. They're going to do what they do. And if nothing else, they're going to watch film. And this will be the most thorough class evaluated in the history of football, along with 2022. So you're going to see a lot of guys. I think you'll see a lot of guys, a lot of film evaluations. But it certainly hurts. I mean, anytime you don't see anybody live, it affects the NBA draft. How many times have you and I seen a Purvis Ellison or a Antonio McDyess go from not really that much of a major prospect to a top five pick? The NBA teams, they get that hotness. I mean, Antonio McDyess wasn't even really being mentioned by the NBA that heavily. Blew up, ate up Brian Reeves, ate a big country breakfast, and the next thing you know, he's going number two. And Purvis Ellison leading them to a national Cardinals to a national championship. So they lose that view. You get losing a lot of pro days. And obviously you're losing the camps and everything if it holds the course. So yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty about how to evaluate a player, because Alabama certainly is one of the schools that values those camp experiences as much as anybody.
Yeah, so, at least the NFL had a combine.
That's now, true. Yeah, they did. That's true. Now some of those guys waited, and some of those guys were waiting for their pro day, so they actually sort of didn't mean to, obviously, but they got pinched a little bit by skipping them.
Yeah, and there were some guys for Alabama that were coming up that you were sort of anticipating seeing them work out. Guys like Terrell Lewis, Anthony Jennings, Xavier McKinney wanted another shot at that 40 after his sort of pull up there at the combine in the 40, and some of those other activities from Indianapolis. So it's pretty much every level right now. You kind of hit on it. And from a number standpoint, even if you don't have those evaluation opportunities available to you for the class of 2021, you still got to sign kids, don't you? Because you can't afford to just say, well, we'll sign 12, 14, 15 kids this time around, because you're limited on an annual basis on initial counters. I mean, you got to fill spots, don't you?
Yeah, and there might be exceptions made, but I'll be honest, a lot of this, see them in person, it hasn't always been this way. I mean, Nick Saban had different rules. You look at old school coaches like Nick Saban, he grew up probably having to offer kids and take them off film. Everybody didn't always come to camp. So this is, really developed in the last, 10 years as far as trying to get everybody to camp. So these guys still know what a football player looks like. They might not know if he's actually 6'3 and a half or 6'1. It might be harder to figure out looking at that tape, but they've got enough ways to figure out how to put together a good class. Good recruiters, good coaches are going to figure out how to sign good players.
Man, it's retro football in a lot of ways right now, Tim, because these coaches, even with their existing roster, sending guys home with workout plans like they did 15, 20 years ago when May would roll around and time to go home for the summer. We'll see you in August. And you send them with their little workout booklet, maybe a playbook, and hope that they come back with any type of semblance of that work having taken place on their own. God, man, it is. I think that's you probably hit on something there with Saban and his being long in the tooth, I guess you could say, in this business. Perhaps helps him. He's got a resource to go back to sort of what it was like before we got into more of the contact and more of the year-round
experience.
Approach.
He's got experience. How many times has he seen, you know, watched the guy's film and offered him? How many guys has he not had a times he not had a guy in camp? I think any college coach is going to have that experience. But you know, Saban, and with as much experience as he has, that's got to be a benefit. And again, you know, even a young, you know, if you're a good coach, you know, if you're a 23, 25 year old coach, you still should know, you know, a player. Sure. You know, you should know a player from a, you know, a groundhog. I mean, you should have a good feeling for what you're looking at.
Yeah, and there's still technology can help you even in this time when you don't have that sort of direct contact because of you know, social media. You can sort of monitor some things with your guys, I would think. And
well, look, let's be honest, we've seen some of these kids over, not, and I'm not talking Alabama, I'm talking in general. We have seen kids over-evaluated to death where you just keep looking at them. And, I mean, if you look That's at true. Something long yeah. enough, you're going to find flaws, you know. And, you know, I had an old friend, you say, study long, study wrong. And that sort of, you know, sometimes, you know, you just look and you know. And you don't have to have his vitals and his hand size and size of his shoe. And, you know, you don't have to have all that. You just sort of look at him and know he's a player. Javier Arenas was that way. You know, our boy Dave Unger, he saw him. He didn't know what he ran. He didn't know his exact measurement. He just know he saw that film and he loved it, signed him, you know, offered him, signed him, flipped him, and boom. So I still think that holds true in a lot of cases. I mean, and also the network is so vast. How many people do you know that this kid could have went to camps three times by the time he's a sophomore? So there's plenty of workarounds.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's not like when we're talking about the 2021 class at this point, there's a lot of secrets out there, right? I mean, there's always those kids that, you know, a couple of kids that can come from off the radar in a span of 6 months. But for a lot of these kids, they're very much known entities on the circuit, right?
Yeah, and I think this is that old school way of helping the smaller schools as well. There'll be guys hidden in Mississippi that only, you know, small schools and, you know, maybe Southern Miss. I mean, you look at the history of the National Football League where a lot of the best players came from, and they all didn't come from Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, USC, and Texas. These guys would be all over. You know, they were at all kind of small schools. Almost like old basketball, you know, where guys will be, at, you know, playing at San Francisco, you know. So I think you have that situation where they could hide out a few guys, because if this, you know, just hypothetically, if this was Josh Jacobs' senior year, it's probably a chance Alabama doesn't get to him. You know, if you go into this with a less chance without Jeremy Pruitt hitting on the road, looking for a defensive guy, Jeremy Pruitt asking who's the best player in the area. The coach is telling them Jacobs. Pruitt takes Jacobs back to Burton Burns. Burton Burns jumps on a plane, you know, and the rest is history. So there will be guys probably slip through the cracks.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It is T. Watts and TR on the Built by Bama Online podcast. If you haven't already, we would certainly appreciate it if you would subscribe to the Built by Bama Online podcast. Maybe leave us a rating and a review while you're there. Those things would be greatly appreciated as well. So here we are, Tim. We're pretty much doing what we're being asked to do, trying to be model citizens about this whole thing, this pandemic that is impacting all of our lives. So around the Watts home, what are some of the sort of quarantine essentials, maybe for Tim Watts, maybe for the fam in general? What do you got to have to get through this right now, Tim?
You know me, I'm such a candy freak. I'm going to end up trapped in a house with three broken teeth and exposed roots, what's probably going to happen. For me, it's candy, little things like that, pork rinds. You know, I'm stashing the dumbest stuff in history. I got to be honest with you. My wife, luckily, she's keeping the vitals. We're eating right. We're eating healthy. We're still trying to eat out and support everybody we can until we can't eat out. So we eat out as much as we can with restaurants and especially our local Alabaster restaurants. We like to take care of the ones like Champy's, LA Burrito, who've been really good to us. So, but yeah, I mean, it's the small stuff. I mean, you know me, Sweet Tarts, Skittles, and all that kind of stuff. Is now what's funny is I had a bag on the kitchen counter. I had bought candies and had all the candy on the bag. And I looked up and it was gone. I asked my wife. She's hidden them in different spots in the house. She's rationing them for me. I was like, are you serious? She said, you can't ration. She don't want to be stuck with me for 2 weeks with no Sweet Tarts, apparently. So I'm on a limit. What about you?
I'm kind of the same. The sweets, you know. I mean, the wife has the Peterbrook chocolate store. So
has she ever.
Those dark chocolate almonds are getting hammered pretty good. And I'm kind of addicted to this Powerade Zero, you know? And so
really? What flavor?
Yes. The grape. Yeah, I call it I call it the old man slushy or the old man icy. I get the crushed ice.
I sit here
and I go through them by the case at this point. So you give me some Powerade Grape Zero and some dark chocolate almonds, I'm probably going to be okay, but we're like you guys. I mean, we're doing our best to sort of try to support the local economy as best we can, man, because it's just amazing, you know, to watch these folks, and we're certainly among them. You're having to adapt and adjust on the fly to try to still serve the community while also being ultra aware and taking every precaution that needs to be taken while doing so. And just unprecedented times in general. You know, we thought you think about it, you've got kids about the age of our youngest. Our youngest was born 4 months after 9/11. She's a senior in high school now, and she's likely going to lose in the big picture of things. I understand it. It's not the biggest thing, but when you're 18 years old, it's a huge thing that you potentially lose your senior year graduation ceremony. So I don't know about this 21st century so much, Tim, other than the fact that it kind of brought us together at BOL. I'm searching for some things at this point for the 21st century.
Yeah, you know, and I talk to people, and I know they all feel guilty, like you sort of did, about, like, it's small things. But you shouldn't feel guilty for being upset she's missing her prom. She should be upset. Yeah.
Prom, you know, you feel graduation, everything.
You feel kind of cheated. You know, we just had to cancel an entire trip to Europe, 17 days, We were going to Paris, Amsterdam, Brussels, and London. It took me 8 months of planning, and it sucked. It does suck. I know there's bigger problems, but it still sucks. So it's okay for people to be upset and frustrated and cheated and miss. It's okay to miss NBA. In my opinion, it's okay to miss NBA and to miss everything you're missing. It's all right. It doesn't make you selfish. It just makes you normal. You know, that's the thing is, you know, all my friends, when they say, like, I don't want to be selfish or I feel bad complaining. No, you can complain. I mean, you should feel bad. It sucks. You feel cheated of something. And I certainly understand an 18-year-old. You know what I mean? My son's a junior in high school, having a great baseball season on a good baseball team, and it just got snatched away from him. And, it sucks, but they're kids, and he probably wouldn't have remembered this season 8 years from now anyway. So, but I get being upset for missing stuff. I don't blame anybody at all, and they shouldn't feel guilty. They should feel pissed.
Got two seniors in the house right now. Got the high school senior and a college senior whose graduation at the University of Hawaii is probably getting wiped out. I'll say this for the oldest. At least she had her senior night in basketball. I mean, looking back on that just now, a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, just very thankful that at least she was able to experience that.
Absolutely. It's fantastic.
But it's been, I mean, it's rough for everybody right now. We kind of understand that. But, you know, from a television standpoint or a streaming device or streaming outlet perspective, it got to be an absolute boon right now for Netflix and the like. Are you binging anything right now, Tim? You got anything in particular that's kind of got you hooked right now?
I'll tell you a show I really like on Amazon Prime. It's called Counterpart. We tried to watch it. I think it was during the football season. It's one of those at night shows where I'll watch, but it's one you have to actually pay attention to. So it was during that recruiting time where I was sort of watching at it, but I was on the computer at night dealing with, you know, with the stuff that goes with the site. So the season passed and I looked up and I didn't remember anything. So we're rewatching that. Really good show. I've liked that. We've caught up on some old movies. Have you seen Knives Out by any chance?
I have. I watched that on a flight recently.
Dude, that's a good movie. It's a Agatha Christie feel, Clue type feel, great cast. We watched
I become a bigger and bigger Don Johnson fan the older I get. Like when we were younger and he was doing the Miami Vice thing and all that, I wasn't into Don Johnson. But, you know, some of the stuff he did with Eastbound and Down was great in that series. And I just become more of a Don Johnson fan the older I get.
He's just more of a guy now. You know, let's be honest. Miami Vice was set up to make him look as douchey as possible in hindsight. They had my boy's hair slicked back. They had the white, you know, all the white clothes, the cars, the colors.
Yeah.
And that he
it
was,
worked.
It absolutely is perfect for that generation, but I don't think it could survive any other gap. So he sort of got the bad start, but the amazing thing is, you're right. He is fantastic. What is is it the Hateful Eight or which one is he in with Tino?
Yeah.
He's great in that as the racist guy. I mean, he's also in what's the one with Leonardo DiCaprio where he's the slave owner, Jamie Foxx.
Oh, Django.
Yeah, he's in that. That dude, man.
Candyland.
He's got a little bit of Benjamin Button because when you look at him, he doesn't look any older than he did 30 years ago, barely. He's got a few more gray hair, but he's a lot similar. He looks very similar to me, a little bit older than, you know, this character in Tin Cup. So good call. I love Don Johnson.
Yeah, he's become one of my unlikely favorites. Yeah.
And he's a great actor. He's an absolute great actor.
He does some good. He's great in Tin Cup. Oh, gosh. David Sims. He's perfect.
Is there a better
golfer? There could be a better a-hole golfer.
Dude, was there a better scene than when he just turned sideways and hit that thing up that road and it bounced? That was the class. And then when he actually hated dogs and he yelled at the old couple. I mean,
you're talking about a marriage of the most 90s actors ever. What about Costner and Don Johnson in that
one? How about Rene Russo in that thing after coming off, you know, fight with Mel Gibson and Lethal Weapons?
Yeah, my boy Cheech Marin from Cheech and Chong is Romeo, the caddy.
I think my favorite scene is when they're teeing off with all the guys before the Masters or whatever they were in, and he was hitting all those balls sideways, and Cheech said, put your hat on backwards, put all your change in your pocket, put this tee behind your ear. He said, I look like a fool. He said, what do you think you look like hitting those chili peppers up Lee Jansen's ass? Yeah. It's like, what do you think you look like? So, yeah, that's a great – that and Bull Durham, Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't love him more than in those two movies.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, you know, I'm documentary guy a lot of times, and so – that's kind of what I've been into, that sort of format of late. Cue Ball, which is a documentary on Netflix that centers on the San Quentin Warriors, which is the prison basketball team at San Quentin. I would recommend that one. That was pretty good stuff that I've kind of consumed here in the last few days. And I'm a foodie as well. I like the foodie stuff. And David Yang in this Ugly Delicious sort of show that they've got on Netflix too. If you're a foodie, I'll give you that one as well.
My wife and daughter love them. So I'm actually adding these to my queue as we talk. What's that called? The foodie?
Ugly Delicious. It's really good. I mean, everything from tacos to fried rice to
anything I've ever cooked.
Yes. Yes. They'll enjoy that. Trust me. Trust me on that one. What about sports movies? You know, that's where I struggle. We kind of talked about Tin Cup a little bit, and Bull Durham. Those certainly are on the better end of sports movies of all time. But what about some of the worst ones? Worst sports movies of all time. And for me, there's only one really at the top of the list. And it's because it was such a drop from the first one. The sequel was just awful. But what do you got for us there, Tim? Worst sports movie
I think
of all
almost
time.
Everyone comes, like you said, from a sequel. Like to me, Rocky V, I just want to just go back. If I had a DeLorean and DeLorean and one thing of plutonium, I would go back and end that film before it shot. I would figure out a way we'd never see Rocky V. It's depressing, it's sad, it's stupid. Rocky's fighting a guy 100 pounds higher. You know, 100 pounds heavier than he is, but I, you know,
Stallone,
for me,
Stallone can't help himself though, man. What? How many Rambos do we have now? By the way, like eight.
You know, I'll answer
what
that.
Are we up to?
I'll answer that with not enough, because I am a Stallone guy. I don't care if it's stupid. I don't care if we're dropping him into Afghanistan with a buck knife. I don't care. I do not. I can go to the bathroom without pausing it and come back, and I've missed nothing. He always wins, but. But you, go ahead and tell me yours, because I'm sure the sequels.
Well, I mean, Caddyshack 2 is the worst.
I mean, what the hell was that?
That was the worst. That was such a disservice.
You were going
to
say that. Jeez, are you kidding me? I remember go ahead.
How about some blasphemy? The movie The Bear in 1984, based on the life of.
Oh, Gary.
The one and only. I mean, Gary Busey. I love Gary Busey, and that's when he was hot. I mean, dude was doing Buddy Holly. He was playing Bear Bryant. You know, it was before. It was pre-rehab, Gary Busey, wasn't it back then?
Pre-wreck. I'll tell you another sequel that makes me want to fight Adam Sandler and Nelly's That Damn Longest Yard. I guess it was a fake. Why is Nelly barefoot? Yeah. Why is he running around barefoot running the sweep? That's pretty easy to stop, step on his toe. But, you know, I'll tell you one. I don't know if it's the worst of all time or the best or both. But that bowling movie with Woody Harrelson.
Oh, gosh. Kingpin. Kingpin is one of my favorite sports movies.
I mean, there's parts in it is like, cut the crap, guys.
Say that it's pretty much so Bill funny. Murray, everything Bill Murray did in that movie was totally improvised.
Oh, like, I can just see it.
He just did it. Big Earn McCracken.
I think some movies, like a lot of sports movies, I think if you're in the right mood, I think you could you can watch most of them. But if you're in the wrong mood, I mean, the Bad News Bears went to Japan. You know what I mean? Yeah, why are the little kids in Japan? They're not the best team in America. There's no way. You know, they're in Japan. And what's the movie where Kevin Costner's the basketball coach and recruits the dude from Africa? You remember that one? Air Up There?
I don't know.
Have you seen that
one?
Yeah,
yeah. What about Blue Chips with Nick Nolte? Where does that one stack up for you? Hoosiers. Yeah.
I love it because Nick Nolte's so many characters I knew when I covered AAU basketball. The scene that summarized every great coach is when he went to see the kid in Indiana. He was Southern Baptist. When he saw Shaquille O'Neal's character in Louisiana, he was Pentecostal. And when he saw the other parent, he was Catholic. When he saw Penny Hardaway, that sums up every great coach I know. They're versatile. I like the movie. It wasn't very realistic. I'm not sure why those games in the movie were so close when they had Penny, Shaq, and everybody else. That seems like it would have been a big, much bigger win. But there's been some bad sports movies.
Penny might have taken that blue chips script to heart into the coaching ranks. I'm not sure though. I mean,
I'm surprised Nick Nolte's not recruiting for him.
Yeah, that blue chips. We did get to see Bobby Hurley in an Indiana uniform. Remember that? How some of the guys that they were used, they would use them in real college uniforms. So it was kind of a different look with some of that stuff. But there's been some bad ones, but you know, probably because the bad ones have been so bad, we don't acknowledge it. There's actually been some really good sports movies. I mean, and even sequels. Rocky II was great. You know, Rocky II was outstanding.
I agree. It was fantastic. And I would agree. They have I think it's just like certain type of movies. Like, have you seen, what was the movie I was going to say? Have you seen the movie Johnny Be Good, for instance?
Yeah.
A good one or a bad one? I like some
to
of these.
It was so cliche
awful. It was so awful. It was good. I hate it, and I bet I've seen it 20 times. So I don't know.
It was kind of the blue chips of football is what it was.
Yes, except it was Anthony Michael Hall, and every university was named.
Robert Downey Jr. is great in everything, though.
Is he not?
He kind of saves everything he's in. He tried to save blue chips, you know.
Another pretty
I couldn't get used to Anthony Michael Hall going from the geek to, you know, Bryce Young, essentially.
Yeah, he went from the nerd to Emilio Estevez. Breakfast Club.
Candles. Yeah.
Yeah. He's all of a sudden, he's the big man on campus. I'll tell you another pretty good one. He Got Game. I thought Denzel was in. I thought the field, I mean, it wasn't very realistic, but I thought Ray Allen did a good job. I thought the Rosario Dawson girl did a good job. And the feel of that movie was shot was really fun. Now, a lot of it was unrealistic. His 5'2 cousin point guard and, you know, everything else that was happening, but I thought that was a good feel to the movie.
Yeah. Who plays, I don't know, maybe we've had this discussion before. Who plays Nick Saban in the movie?
Don Johnson? No.
It'll work. Same kind of hair.
I don't
Nick's
know.
Nick's kind of got the hair.
I don't know. It'd be tough, you know.
I've always said Mark Wahlberg, because I think he's at a point, if you did it right now, Mark Wahlberg could go back, you could de-age him enough to be young Nick, you know, and then, you know, he's getting to a point chronologically where, you know, you can carry him right over into the current times. I don't know if people agree with me on that, but just kind of the visual of Mark Wahlberg.
The biggest thing for me there was he would have to decompress those muscles by about 39% minimum. I mean, that is still a big, thick, brawny dude. Nick Saban that muscular.
I think Nick sees himself like that though sometimes, maybe.
Well, I think a lot of people see him like that.
I think so. That's what I mean. Yeah,
when they look across that field, I bet they've had that feel before. So I don't know, that's a good question. I'll have to
ponder. About Joaquin Phoenix?
Is Tom Cruise not on the table for Nick Saban? Roughly the same height.
Could be.
Similar build. You'd have to, you know, here's the thing about Cruise. You know, you saw him in Tropical Thunder. You can make him what you want to make him. He's a heck of an actor. I don't want to party with him, but I think you could. I think you could get him there, hair wise, physical. You know, the glasses. I think if you dummied him down a little bit from being, you know, Top Gun to a normal man, I think he might have some Nick Saban in him, at least size wise.
Best sports movie Tom Cruise has been in, for me, is still All the Right Moves from the 80s. You know, gotta be All the Right Moves. The high school Western Pennsylvania Still Mills kid, you know, the undersized Caucasian corner trying to get out of the Western PA hills and make it for himself. And that's still the one that resonates.
No, it's great. I mean, Craig T. Nelson, who's also hilarious on the show Coach, which is an underrated sports TV show. You know, it's hokey, but it's good. He was a great coach in this movie. You had the Chris Penn going to Notre Dame. You had the guy. You had the guy getting arrested. You know, you had the quick time quarterback.
Salvucci.
And you did, it had that fit. Yeah. Can you help me now, Coach? Can you help me now? You know, it had it had a beauty, had really young, pretty Leah Thompson in it as the lead actress. So it had, you know what it had? It had that feel.
Of the angst,
you felt like you were in Allentown with Billy Joel to some degree. I mean, when they were at the bar, when they were, you know, trashing the coach's yard, it felt just like you were there. I agree. It's one of the most underappreciated movies.
Shot, man. It took you there, didn't it? The way it was shot and how they, locations and everything.
It just felt, however they shot it just felt like it
was. That wasn't an LA soundstage.
No. That was legit. And even the ending was really good where he walks out of the mines and, you know, Craig T. Nelson's giving him a scholarship. So it hit on some heartstrings. But, I mean, it was an emotional. And when they went in that locker room, those guys looked like a rock locker room I've been in.
That talk from Nickerson before and after the game,
just the way they were taped and how those pads didn't, you know. My kids laugh because when they see old pictures, they see the shoulder pads and the neck roll for me, and they think it's hilarious because everything they've got is just fit perfect. Even at the young
dummies back in the day.
I had to swap a helmet because the ear pads things were stripped and it wouldn't stay clicked in when I was at their age. They're like, ear pad things? I was like, yes, we used to have to actually put the pads in this stuff. Yeah, they did. You know how hard it is to get that knee pad in that damn pants? How many times you put that in is upside down. You're mad as hell. You're like, what?
Yeah, football practice was at 3:30. You had to be getting your pants ready at like 2 to get everything.
They yelled at you for getting water. It's always a test. Who's thirsty? I'm not. You know, which one of you dummies is going to admit you're thirsty? So I'll tell you a basketball movie I love is White Men Can't Jump.
That's a good flick.
The basketball, what I love was the basketball was so real. And that's sort of why I like movies like The Program. And that was the first one I saw real, you know, sort of real football. And then the show Friday Night Lights, you know, the hitting and everything. I mean, I'm not saying the scenarios were. For me, sports stories are still sort of tough because they always like can't. I don't know why the editor can't see the scoreboard when it's the fourth quarter. The score is 3-0, and it's obviously more than 3-0. How come nobody
hires? And they bring in actual consultants to work on that stuff.
There's 100 guys on BOL. Technical consultants. There's 100 subscribers on BOL who could text them a link to that movie, and they would fix. They'd catch every one of those. Yeah. Our guys would catch every one of those. So I don't know how they do that. It still bothers me, but. The Program was really good hit. Varsity Blues, for all of its insanity and over the top stuff, was fantastic for the movie.
It kept me. And that's typically the movie that doesn't. To me, it was kind of like a poor man's All the Right Moves, but I hung in there with it. I hung in there with Varsity Blues, even as cliche as it was. You know?
I think partly because you knew, you were like, you know, if you don't know a Skeeter, you don't believe Skeeter exists, but if you know a Skeeter like we do, then you know good and damn well we don't know what that bump is down there. You know, we had a friend like that. We don't know what that is either. So that's what I liked. I tell you, this is a great time. I mean, it is, like you said, Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime. It's, you know, imagine if we were in this situation 20 years ago where we really had nothing to watch. It'd be hard it'd be hard to kill a day. I know that much, but
divorce attorneys they would be especially busier.
What are we having what are we having that mailbag, Mr.
Yeah, Rock? With that, as much as we talk about the reviews, but we still actually have a lot going on at BamaOnline.com from an Alabama sports perspective, and that shows up in the form of the T-Watts and TR mailbag. Let's go there right now, Tim. And we'll get started with Bama Man 4JC, who asks, do we think it's more realistic that Alabama cancel spring practice altogether or perhaps move it to the summer months? You know, what we do know, Tim, is that the SEC has handed down a mandate that spring activities of any kind are suspended through April 15th, which obviously put A-Day initially in peril because A-Day was scheduled for April the 18th. We've learned in the last couple of days from the SEC office that all SEC spring games have been canceled. Now, they're still going to revisit, I guess, that April 15th date in terms of potentially there still being some form of spring practice that would at this point have to carry over into May. I don't know. I kind of lean more, if you were going to ask me for a drop dead point blank answer right now, I would lean more towards there being a build out of fall camp, basically, where perhaps in July they allow teams to get a bit of a jump start on fall camp, come in a little bit early, monitor it, obviously, because if you leave coaches to their own devices, they'll practice 50 straight days without a break. So there would be some built-in provisions for that. But Tim, right now, it's just hard for me to envision a form of spring practice playing out. It's still possible, but I don't see it as a great possibility.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's so hard. It's just so hard to project with so many uncertainties. You know, we had questions yesterday about the Coleman renovations and the Bryant-Denny. Would they be stalled? I just don't know. I mean, I think it depends on if this is behind us in a month, which seems unlikely. I think, there won't be nearly as many delays as if this virus is still an issue in July. Obviously, there's going to be delays in everything. But with the spring, I think, like you said, they almost got to prorate it. You got to have frat practice, fall practice. Right. You got to work yourself into that season. You can't just jump in and start playing college football games. Nothing good's going to come from that, you know, even if that was an option, which is not. So I think you're, like you said, I think this is almost a case where you could just push the timeline back. You know, if this is a – it's hard to discuss. If it's completely hypothetical and this virus pushes us back 3 months, it's possible everything's pushed back 3 months.
Right.
And then you gradually work backwards to catch back up to August, fall, April, spring. So I think that's a possibility. I mean, Major League Baseball, oddly enough, the dumbest organist, the biggest cheaters in the history of sports, Major League Baseball, might be setting the way for us to figure this out with their approach to this. Because they've seemed the most rational, like, we're going to postpone it till April, we're going to postpone it till May, they're already saying we're going to have a spring practice. So they've said more than anybody else. I think everybody else, the NBA, college, and all that, nobody else has really said a whole lot that I've seen. But the Major League Baseball, considering they're behind the curve on so much, to me, has been a little bit ahead of the curve because they're saying we will have a spring. When will we have a spring? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't think college football, the NCAA, is going to say, look, we've got to start the season September 5th. And whether that means we can't have as many practices leading up to that, that's our drop-dead start date. I don't think that's going to be the case at all. They're going to do everything they have to do to ensure that there is the adequate prep time that these teams need to get ready for a football season. You know, it's not going to be a scenario where they say, okay, well, you get 10 days to practice and we're kicking off September 5th. As you sort of pointed out there, Tim, if they have to push back the start of the college football season in terms of the regular season, that's what they'll do to make sure they get those needed workouts in. And we weren't really getting into this, but you mentioned it, how this impacts facilities and things like that that are going on at the University of Alabama. I mean, you got a Crimson Standard Fund right now in which they're trying to raise $600 million. I believe they've surpassed the halfway point. But with the economic impact of all this, you know, that does become tougher, obviously. And that does become more in question, I would think, in terms of, say, Coleman Coliseum, more than anything for down the road. Bryant-Denny's underway. That's going to get done at some point. Whether that is on time as a result of all this, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking more in terms of when you're trying to raise money, man, in these tough times with the economic downturn that's come with it, that makes it tougher as well. Gabe Lewis here in the mailbag, Tim, asks the question or poses the scenario. You are forced to quarantine for 2 weeks, but you can have three SEC football coaches in the house with you. Keeping in mind the three coaches will be who is there to help protect you, but but also who you have to be around for 2 weeks. Who are the three coaches? I'll answer that real quick, Gabe. Zero. I don't want anybody in my house that I don't have to have, Tim.
Gabe asked the tough questions. I love him.
I guess if I have to answer that, I'll answer it. But would you have Lane Kiffin in your house for two
Hell
weeks?
Hell no, I wouldn't have Lane Kiffin in my house. What's wrong with you? Under any circumstances. No, Lane's a good guy.
I'd want to fight Mike Leach by the
end of 2 weeks. Lane would be fun, but you know how sometimes when the party's over and that guy don't know the party. Lane might be that guy.
Getting Lane out of your house out of 2 weeks might be the tough part.
I think,
right?
I'd start with Jeremy Pruitt. You know, a country guy, doesn't talk a lot, probably goes to bed about 7:30 p.m., wakes up 4 o'clock, so you don't have to see him that much. Probably knows how to kill something and cook it, you know, if times get really bad. I bet he's hell in a fight. I'd pick Pruitt. I wouldn't mind being around Saban. You know, I think he's the kind of guy that'd be in his room doing his own stuff, his work.
Right.
You see him socially.
He'd be fine because you wouldn't see Nick for the 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, Nick would
You'd only see him like
– he'd quarantine within the quarantine.
He might hear Thin Cup on TV and come out and watch it with you. But for the most part, he's – so Nick and Pruitt would be pretty good for me. You're right about Leach. Leach and Kiffin, there's no way 14 days. I'd be like Leach.
What about O? O would be all right.
I like the non-cookie cutters. And if anybody's not a cookie cutter coach, it's Ed Orgeron. I definitely could see, you know, him. 2 weeks, though, trying to figure out what we have in common might be rough. But I do like the thought of him in my foxhole if, you know, if we get in a brawl, a good one to have behind you.
Yeah, I don't think you could do much better than O if it came down to sort of an Armageddon-type situation.
How about old coaches, though? Give me three old SEC coaches. Give me two. Any SEC coach in history, give me two you want to hang out with.
Any in history? Wow.
Any SEC in modern history?
Well, I would go with more character types because I'd want to be entertained as much as anything. I think Steve Spurrier – the stories that he could tell.
That's my number one pick.
He would keep you laughing. I think Steve Spurrier would keep you laughing.
And I got one more for you. How about Les Miles in our foursome? How about the four of us playing spades?
Oh, jeez.
How about the four of us listening to these two guys tell stories?
Yeah. That would be for the tension, give me Steve Spurrier and Ray Goff, you know, because they weren't big fans of each other.
Well, crap. I'll throw Fulmer at this table. Yeah. I'm just going to watch y'all play.
Just have some coaches MMA breakout, you know, if you get the right combinations together. We could be the Dana Whites of that, that came down to it. Hey, Abrel Bama, 5818, asks, since they have canceled spring practice, well, they haven't canceled it as of yet, but we get where you're going with this, Abrel. Which should have seen several battles, including the QB battle. How does this affect the quarterback position going into the summer? What do you think, Tim? I think that, you know, it's not a bad thing necessarily for Mac Jones, because Mac Jones has a track record with this coaching staff. We've seen what he can do to a large extent with four starts in 2019. Does this hinder, say, Bryce Young, in your opinion, with his candidacy?
I don't think so. I think it's, you know, to me, we've paused everything. I don't feel like until it's, you know, everything else is determined. I just feel like we paused a lot of, you know, sports because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think it hurts Bryce Young, one, because I know what he can do as a talent. I know what kind of kid he is on the field. Two, I think it gives him a little more time in the quarterback room, a little more time to pick Mac's brain. I certainly don't think it hurts Mac at all, so don't get me wrong. But with Bryce, I don't think it hurts because we know. Now, he doesn't get experience, but he's not going to get a lot of experience in the spring other than throws. You can't learn much in the spring that you can't get that experience to face Georgia.
What about establishing your voice with your teammates?
I made a post the other day. Some little interesting stories. I've had a few guys, and I'm not going to say names, tell me stories that, like, the older guys, when Bryce enrolled in December or in January, they didn't know who he was. One guy apparently thought he was a punter or on the track team. And they thought he was a special
Ty
team.
Ty Pirine. Yeah.
Yes. And he introduced, said, "Hello, I'm Bryce Young." And the starting offensive player was like, "Holy crap, I had no idea." You know, I think it is sort of like the movie
John Roadhouse. Legend. That's who he looks like, kind of.
I think it's like the movie Roadhouse. You know, they kept saying, I expected you to be bigger. I think when you hear the tales of Bryce, and if you don't really follow recruiting like we do, you probably expect him to be bigger. And he's just, you know, he's a small guy. He's a quiet guy, you know, so he's not going to come in loudly screaming, "Who's number one?" You know. Yeah, who's the number one recruit? So that I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, him being a voice could be a factor. As we've discussed for over a year, Max Jones is loved in that locker room. I mean, he's got the locker room people believing him probably even as much, maybe even more than Tua. Those kids, those wide receivers, those guys love Max Jones on a personal level. So, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that sort of plays itself out. When we eventually get back to some football. Abrel Bama 5818 also asked, "Have we heard anything about how they will be handling the 2020 NFL draft this year? Any news on that?" Yeah, the NFL has come out here in the last week or so and announced that essentially the plans for Vegas this year have been scrubbed. So, Tim, you kind of get the feeling that it's going to be more of a virtual draft than anything else, with not much, if any, in the way of crowd participation, which has become a very big deal for the NFL the last few years with taking this draft on the road.
I'm almost curious. I don't think there's quite enough time, but I'm curious if they're not considering postponing the draft a little bit.
Go ahead. They say they're still going with April 23rd to the 25th, and they said that about the current situation, and it's been business as usual. So, you know, it's so much about television too, you know.
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of plans in place. I saw that huge deal they did in Nashville. Yeah.
As long as they can make it happen for the television, it wouldn't surprise me if it goes on, but, we're still a little bit of a ways out, but they're trying to maintain, man, status quo in the National Football League as much as possible. Jambama, your boy, Tim, he asked, "Did the light blue marble cheat?" I guess that's been sort of viral, right? The marble race on the social media.
Yeah.
You got anything on that?
I don't know if it cheated or not. I know that was a pretty funny video.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people were talking about it. I probably had that thing sent to me. That's when I knew my buddies being sports fiends was going to be a long time for me, because I was getting those videos. they were like, "Holy crap, watch this." So that was their version of sports. So no opinion if he cheated. I'm gonna go back and watch it and PM Jambama though, and sort of look a little closer that how he behaved during that entire race, the blue marble.
Go to the video.
Yes,
I go to Hub Bama here in the mailbag. Who in the transfer portal and or high school senior does Alabama basketball have a chance of landing? And how many new players on next year's roster? Really hard to say at this point with where we're at in all of this, with the sort of suspension of things. I do know the transfer portal in basketball, it seems like it never slows down. The transfer portal in just about any sport. So what you're seeing here in the last few days, Jamarius Burton, a 6'4 guard from Wichita State, is in that portal. He says he's heard from Alabama, among others. Louisville guard Darius Perry, who was previously recruited by Alabama before signing with Louisville, been up at UL a couple of years. He's in the portal. Landers Nolley, the second, a 6'7 wing from Virginia Tech, is one of the more high-profile names that has gone into the portal here in the last few days. So, look, there's a lot of names. There's a lot of names with a lot of schools attached to them at this point. We do know that Keon Ambrose Hilton is already signed for Alabama in its 2020 class. Josh Primo is a guard of note that is still out there that Alabama has been linked to, Tim. But I guess what I would say is, keep your eyes open for any and all outlets for potential talent to make its way into this program with Nate Oates, because we've already seen it. A year ago, we saw Nate Oates go the prep route. We saw Nate Oates go the grad transfer route, the junior college transfer route. Any and all potential revenue or streams, I guess you could say, for talent are going to be in play for this staff.
Yeah, I haven't followed as closely as I probably should have. I think they still, if they don't have anybody, part of that's going to depend on who goes pro, if anybody goes pro, if Kyra goes.
Yeah.
Or Petty goes, or some combination pros, or the, you know, people transfer. I mean, that they'll have the room to, you know, bring in some guys they like. And I think they want to bring in an effusion. So if they can get a guy that can come in and help and contribute, change the culture a little bit, get some guys, you know, they need some depth. You saw them run into that this year. So I think all options are on the table for Nate Oates, who I still believe in, by the way.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. And again, I think like a lot of programs, you know, Alabama is going to be open to any of those type of streams of talent when you talk about transfers on various levels, high school kids, junior college kids, you name it. Mike Bowhunter in the mailbag. He's asking about the health status of Will Reichard and DJ Dale. And Mike, that's the big shame of all this, was that we were expecting to get updates on those guys and some others. But with spring practice obviously suspended for the time being, we had hoped last Friday to get a better understanding of those things, you know, and perhaps we're going to hear from Nick Saban in the coming days, and maybe the health status of some of these guys will come to the forefront. But we know Will Reichard at the end of the 2019 season was ramping up to what appeared to be a return of some sort for spring football. DJ Dale, after multiple injuries as a true freshman last year. Last we heard from Nick Saban in regards to the nose tackle, DJ Dale, was that he wasn't necessarily, back in mid-December anyway, responding to treatment as well as they had hoped, and they were considering some other options for DJ Dale. So I'm not sure if Tim has anything else to add to that, but wait and see at this point, as best I can tell.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. Waiting and seeing. Don't want to draw any conclusions. They got plenty of time now, so there's not a rush.
Yeah, let's wrap it up, Tim, with CKAKAC 97. I won't even try to make that.
You can do it.
CKAKAKA 97.
I stand corrected. You cannot do it. I stand corrected.
All right, Tim. Here's the question. Thoughts on the seemingly slow start to recruiting for the 2021 class? You kind of hit on this earlier, but take us out with this.
Not worried. It's not the normal start for Alabama. You look at most of the schools. I mean, if Alabama had a couple of decommitments, obviously. Latrell McCutchen wasn't a surprise. Drake May wasn't a huge surprise considering Bryce Young. So, you know, some circumstances led to the decommitments. Otherwise, Alabama would have three commitments. That's probably on par for most of the country. I think the panic started with with Clemson and Ohio State having such good classes. They have double digits. North Carolina's freaked some fans out. They have double digit. You know, the thing about it is, just because you got commitments don't mean you got the right commitments. We went through this with Alabama's class last year with the early freak out. Now, this is against the norm. You know, Alabama usually has a couple of more, but we're not talking 20 commitments to one commitment usually in March, you know, 9 months before signing day. So, or 8 months, whatever, 7 months before signing day. I think it is a slow start, but I think that's what it is. It's a slow start. I think they're in position to land some good guys, and we'll see how this class goes. But I think there is pressure, and it's natural to feel that pressure because Clemson, Ohio State, who were two playoff teams, are doing so well. But, you know, every staff moves at their own pace right now. And I think Alabama's moving a little bit slower, plus the momentum's a little bit slower. So I think it's a combination of things. But I don't, you know, come October, you know, I might feel differently. But right now I don't see any cause for panic.
There you go, Tim. That'll take us out of here. As always, we certainly appreciate it. There you go. Absolutely. We appreciate our BOL subscribers. Absolutely. We're going to continue to bring
you
the very best of the information and content that we possibly can during these trying times. And again, we can't thank you enough for joining us, not only here on the Built by Bama Online podcast, but certainly at BamaOnline.com and the Roundtable, the community of choice for Alabama fans. Tim, a lot of fun.
Yep. Same here. Look forward to seeing you guys on BOL.
There you go. For Tim Watts, Travis Schreier, thanking you once again for joining us. For T. Watts and TR on the Built by Bama online podcast, we'll do it again real soon.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.